You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is Jack Harrison from NYCFC, and you're listening to The Cooligans.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, guys.
It's The Cooligans from across the border.
Across the border? Which border?
Yeah, well, I mean, for those of us, for those of our fans who listen to our Trump fans, they're like, finally.
They're gone.
Wrong border.
Wrong border. No, we're in the part where we have not been deported to this side of the border. So.
Right. This is where we're going to self-deport if things get real bad. We are in my second favorite city in the world.
Montreal.
Maybe my third, London. I've been telling everyone it's my second, but just to be nice to them, I think London is my second favorite city in the world. But we are in Montreal.
We are in Montreal.
Canada.
Canada.
Quebec.
This has been, it's only been one evening that we've really spent here.
And how many hours do you think we've been here? We slept, 7 hours?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We
together, 15 hours maybe?
That's about it. And it's already, we're calling it home already.
Yeah, time to go.
This has been, this is great. Yeah, we are the Cooligans. We are in Montreal. We just watched Montreal against Toronto in Montreal.
I mean, the atmosphere.
For the MLS playoffs. And it's been.
It's the first leg.
And it's already hot.
This could have been the final.
Yeah, it was. I mean, so many people. I've never attended a soccer game with that many people.
No, not at all. 61,004.
Yeah,
ridiculous. And if you look around, there was very, very few. It was hard to find empty seats.
That's right.
You know, because I know sometimes they use the tickets handed out versus the tickets sold or, you know, gate number, but.
Who cares about the details at this
it
moment?
It actually felt like 122,008.
I mean, it was surreal because the game was held at Olympic Stadium.
Yeah, you could hear my voice. Not only am I getting over being sick, but the atmosphere was intense.
It was incredible. So, we had a great time. Obviously, this episode of the show is going to be a little bit abridged.
Yeah, I mean, so far, it's already late.
It's already late.
This is going to be short.
We're in our hotel room. Is it a motel room or Holiday Inn? Hotel, motel, or Holiday Inn room?
If your friend starts acting up, just take her friend. Thank you for dating us here.
I mean, this is overall, this has been pretty great.
Yeah, I mean, the atmosphere has been intense. The city itself is incredible. I mean, I don't think there's anything you can say about the city that's negative. It's just a fun place to be. For everyone who's from New York who's never been to Montreal, 6-hour drive, do it. Make sure you have a passport, else they won't let you back in the America, the United States of America. But it's kind of like Brooklyn, right? This is like a big Brooklyn.
That was a very reasonable advice. Make sure you have a passport when leaving the country.
Well, you know, you don't have to have a passport to get into Canada, but you do have to get back. You do have to have one.
If you're looking to us to give you that advice for international travel, please, this is the wrong.
There's someone just standing at their door with bags waiting for the Cooligans to give them travel advice.
It's already too late. Somebody's trapped in like some Slovenian prison because they didn't listen to our podcast. They forgot to bring their passport.
Hilarious. If that's the case. Then God bless you for listening, Slovenia.
But let's go over the game. There were obviously two MLS playoff games. Seattle played against Colorado after the Montreal Toronto
match of the day.
But you know, we didn't get to see that one.
Because we wanted to, but our match started a little late.
A little late. So yeah, let's start with that because obviously the game ended 3-2 for Montreal. But the game, there was about a 40-minute delay.
I mean, let's just also say, like, how tired we were already.
Yes.
I drove 6 hours. You slept a little bit in the car. You must have been exhausted.
Yeah, I must have. After I offered repeatedly to drive.
Sure he did. As you snored.
Okay, sure. Create this false narrative.
Homie brought a blanket and one of those travel pillows that wrap around your neck. Switched on the heated seat.
Apparently, you're just a robot. You're like a self-driving car who doesn't need to rest or sleep.
I don't
you just
need to switch off, my dude.
Drive all day.
I got this.
That's fine. I was comfy.
You could drive 5 miles under the speed limit while you're trying to. And also, we stopped to get snacks. And your boy did what he usually does, which is he got himself a coffee and some Doritos. I was thinking Doritos or chocolate M&M peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the two. And I decided to go Doritos for some reason. Gotta love the orange powder.
Pretty brave of you.
I agree.
Yeah.
So I said, let's get snacks. I'm waiting in line for the coffee. And I look over. And the homie Christian got his snacks in his hand.
Yep.
Two oranges.
Wow.
I mean.
Disgusting.
It's a road trip, man.
How dare he?
It's a road trip.
Yeah, when it's a road trip, you got to eat gross food.
Not gross.
Those are the rules.
First of all, Doritos, a potential future sponsor. Don't you dare give him that. Unless M&M Peanuts is interested, in which case, you're right, it was gross. We should have went with M&M Peanuts. Flavor that melts in your mouth, not in your hands.
Okay. Wow, that was
just in case.
That was on point, yeah.
Yeah, I want them to know, even when the voice is half out, we're good. But so he comes over, and you know, he does the sensible thing, which is while I'm filling up my coffee with a little bit of sugar and cream or whatever the hell I was putting in it, I look over, and Christian is peeling the oranges.
It was just like, you don't eat the peel. I don't know if you know that. So you have to peel the oranges.
I've only ever used those to throw at me while I have a bat in my hand because it's funny to watch them explode. But, okay. But the juice tastes amazing.
Yes.
He peels the oranges. He gets in the car. He's just like gently eating. Like a professor who has a year left before he's retired. He is just gently and quietly almost thinking to himself, well, today's a beautiful day. And Christian, you got yourself a beautiful orange.
Yeah.
And we have 4 hours left of this trip, which is enough time for you to nap after this orange fills your belly and you're so full and tired that you must take one of those orange coma naps that everyone who weighs under 100 pounds knows how it is.
Wow. There's
a lot of emotion about an orange.
There's years of resentment. I haven't even known you long enough to develop this many years of resentment that I can sense in
I've
your
taken
voice.
Everyone in recess growing up who didn't whip out a Ziploc bag filled with soft-batch cookies.
So this is why
I put that on you.
I particularly like having healthier food on road trips because I'm very concerned about having to poop. Wow, I'm on a road trip.
Wouldn't an orange make you poop more? It's all natural, like fiber and shit.
I don't know. I don't want to have an upset stomach. I'm like,
Doritos isn't going to make you poop. Doritos hold your poop in.
Oh, really?
That's frat boy food.
But you might have like a stomach ache. You know, I don't want to. You know, as you were driving, licking your fingers, getting Dorito dust off your hands.
Oh, man.
I have no interest
in participating
in that kind of behavior.
And of course, you lick your fingers and keep a tissue nearby so you don't get Doritos all over the car. It's very smooth.
Look at that.
Does not know you had Doritos, but so. You're tired. I'm tired. We get to the stadium. The energy's intense. First of all, the march. Oh, man. We literally made it in time to watch the Ultras, or the Ultras,
yeah,
as they say.
Ultras, yeah.
March from Bar 99, which is like, what, maybe 2-3 blocks away?
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. It's also very French. Let's get that.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of French.
You know, I've been to Montreal before, not really around the soccer community.
Right.
And I sort of just expected, I had stayed in like touristy things, hotels and resorts.
Right.
And I went snowboarding. Everybody spoke English. There wasn't really much of a concern of like not being able to communicate.
Right.
But no, this time I felt like, oh, this is... I'm an outsider. I'm a foreigner here.
Oh, yeah. No, we're amongst the people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the people do not want to speak English.
They don't want to. Some people have been rude to us because we don't speak English.
Oh, well, I think it's because we were American. That
yeah.
They were rude to us. One bartender in particular who didn't get a tip. That's right, homie.
Because he wasn't. I mean, it was absurd. He was so comically rude to us.
I mean, not like New York rude. Like, what do you want? Hurry up.
No,
this was like, ugh.
Yeah. Just
this
like,
was like
couldn't
rolling the eyes.
Like enough, yeah. Like he just had enough of Americans coming by.
Yeah, we were the last ones. And I think there were other Americans in the bar. So I think when we got there, he was done. And by the way, it wasn't a bar. It was a room shaped like a bar with a very big bar and beers on tap. But apparently, that's a restaurant.
Yeah,
and they have to serve you food legally, not just beer.
Not just.
And
beer.
I was like, I gave him the old jerk off symbol. Like, right. This was after his meeting. It's like, I look at Christian, I'm like, clearly this is the, oh, look, two Americans rule that you also have to buy food.
Yeah.
And then he immediately goes, the cheapest options is a hamburger or the French fries. And we're like, we'll take the French fries, even though we just ate about a pound and a half each of smoked meat sandwiches at Schwartz.
Yeah. So let's get that. The Ultras were unbelievable. There were fireworks. They were, I mean, literal fireworks. The
chanting was, I mean, how many people would you think, would you say it was? A couple hundred?
Yeah, I would say easily, it felt like 200 to 300 people.
200 to 300 people all marching down these tiny Montreal streets. They were all chanting in unison.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was Toronto sucks kind of a chant.
Yeah.
That was the only English thing they said. From then on, it was everything in French.
Everything in French, yeah.
But it was beautiful. I mean, it was, there was pyro everywhere. A lot of guys with road flares, a lot of blue smoke, which smells like garbage. You know, just a lot of people singing in chants. Seemed like there was pyro at certain intervals. Like, people knew where to stand. It was very well organized.
Yeah.
The cops were sort of...
The cops were leading the march.
Right,
so it wasn't just a band of, like, just vagrants.
Yeah, no, the cops hate Toronto FC as well.
The cops were throwing flares as well. It was cool to be a part of. Yeah, that was like it was cool to see that and
yeah, we did not march with them. We filmed them. I don't want any, you know, we're certainly not ultras and we're not walking in there.
Exactly.
But we did walk amongst them for a little bit to get some video. And it was just honestly like a lot of respect to the ultras here in Montreal. You know, they don't get a lot of credit for their fan base. Man, it was beautiful. I mean,
yeah.
Anyway, they did an amazing job.
Beautiful is the right word. You can go on our Instagram at Soccer Cooligans and you can see some of the videos of the march. And it was cool. And there's something about it being in another language and maybe specifically French that it almost sounds like a beautiful song.
Right, it's very romantic.
You know, yeah. I'm like, is this an R&B track?
Yeah, that... yeah. Do you hate Toronto or do you want to make love to Toronto? Yeah. Jade.
It was nice. It was nice. So when we got to the game, obviously we're a little exhausted. We got there early.
Also, we didn't know where to walk in, but like the horde of the crowd pushed us through.
Pushed
a
us
gate.
Through. And literally and the smoke came in through like in, yeah, into the arena,
into, like, the foyer of the arena, and they started letting out firecrackers and like outside sort of fireworks inside the arena. So it was like exploding on the ceiling. It was wild.
Like if because at Yankee Stadium, Securitas, the security company that handles like all you know all the handles the crowd,
right?
They lose their mind if you just even have like a GoPro.
You get tackled for a cell phone that you're holding in landscape.
Any little thing
you're doing recording
like triggers them. They're very very cautious. And in this match at Olympic Stadium with 61,000 people, they are letting, I mean, it's like a Roman candle. They're sending out Roman candles indoors.
Yes,
which
yes,
is wildly
exactly
dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, we were like, where's all of this explosion coming from? And like, it's always above your head.
Yeah. I mean, they, you know, a lot of times.
Oh, God, we felt like Palestinians who live near the wall, you know?
For the most part, when any arena in the country, in especially in the U.S., like, you know, they search you, you can't bring in, I mean, flammable things that without a doubt that you cannot. But the people, I don't know if the security company, the security at Olympic Stadium, they were just like, I mean, people could have been holding.
Yeah, they hired Nah, you cool security.
Hey, what
call
you do?
1-800. Nah, you cool.
Yo, can I go in? Nah, yeah, you cool. You cool.
Yo, is this allowed? Nah, you cool. The only thing, and it was funny, you had a bag. You had a backpack, which, by the way, fit the requirements.
Yeah, it was small
enough.
We did
a very official measurement using the top knuckle of my thumb as inch, and it was below the 14 by 14 by 6. But as soon as you walked in, they're like, no, you're not allowed. In New York, that would have been a much more abrupt and rough and very curt, you know, sort of, no, you're not allowed in. But they were very nice. They walked us over to the security table where you check in your bags. There's a place to check in your bags.
Yeah, for free.
Yeah, and then we took out sort of a thing that holds the GoPro. So it's not a selfie stick. It's like a handle.
A little handle, yeah.
And it looks like it might open up to a selfie stick. Like, it looks like the kind that you can open up. So they were like, oh, no, you know. And we got the security, like the head of security came over and they were like, hello, bonsoir.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, is this allowed? And he was like speaking in French. And, oh, is that open up? And we're like, no, it stays tight. And he goes, oh, yeah, you're fine. And he tells everyone fine. He walks away sipping on tea or whatever. It was like, it's such a different atmosphere. In New York, you would be speaking to you'd be in the box overnight. You'd be speaking to a sergeant the next morning. And you'd find out that your handle was allowed. In the stadium.
Yeah, they were pretty chill with almost everything.
Yeah, they were very cool. And also, like, their foyer is, like, the ceiling is very low. So they went to this area that's sort of round and has like a slight little dome, and that's where they started chanting. It felt like all 61,000 people were in that room with us at that moment chanting.
Yeah.
TV cameras everywhere. Every news outlet was news there.
You spoke to somebody from the CBC.
CBC, that's right. They interviewed me. Well, actually, I interviewed him.
Forcefully interviewed. Yeah,
he did not want a camera in his face, but guess what he got? The homie got a camera in his face. I go, what channel? He kind of like, what? No one ever says that. Because it was CBC, and like everyone knows what that is.
Exactly.
But we don't. So we're like, what channel is that? I think it can be like 1,008. And he goes, 6.
CBC? Is that on Netflix? What's that channel at?
Is it a website or you on YouTube, my dude?
I mean, literally, it's like a proper news reporter.
Yeah, it would be like someone saying ESPN, and they're like, what channel is that?
You know? Yo, how many Twitter followers you got, bro?
Yeah. CNN? I never heard of that, Doug. Yo, you got the blue check on Twitter? I mean, I ain't talking to you if you ain't got that blue check.
But we got in, and the game was delayed. You must have seen this on the telecast, because the game was supposed to start at 8 p.m. Didn't really start till about 8:45.
We're still at this part of the story, my God.
Yeah,
we're exhausted. All of a sudden, they say that there's a delay. Like, they came out and did the warm-up.
They had technical difficulty.
Yeah, but like they came out and did the warm-up, and everyone cheered. The stadium started filling in. Montreal's a bit of a late city, so we're still filling in. And we're like, oh, here comes the match. Mm-hmm. And the clock counted down. And then right around like 2 minutes left before the match starts, we get an announcement that it's going to be delayed for technical difficulties. And we're like, what could that possibly be? And then we start seeing people spray painting the lines of the 18-yard box.
Yeah, the outside lines of the 18-yard box. So apparently it was the referee had seen that the 18-yard box was
actually 16 yards.
It was basically about 16 yards. Yeah. It was maybe about 14. It seemed like it was on both sides.
Yeah, it looks like they added about 2 yards.
On each end. So they had to spray paint the outside lines.
They spray painted it green.
Green. Literally, like, just a bunch of people with spray cans. Yeah.
There's not a machine that does that. There's not a line eraser machine. It's just Quebecois with green spray paint.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, yeah, they went into the, you know, the graffiti supply section.
Yeah, exactly.
And spray painted, and that took, you know, about 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And then finally the guy who puts the lines on the ground.
The chalk guy. The hero of the night.
I mean,
has not paid for a drink in these last 12, 24 hours, whatever it's been.
So this guy that was probably the thing that was most confusing to me. Why did it take so long for the chalk guy to come out?
The machine was away. I bet you know, they're done with the machine. They probably put it away somewhere deep behind, like, chairs and stuff.
Even that seems irresponsible.
Yeah.
You know?
Behind your childhood toys, you know, your grandmother keeps all the way back.
Deep in the closet. Yeah. You don't expect.
Behind the box of G.I. Joe's.
Yeah. It's like your air conditioner when you're done for the winter. Pack it under there, you know?
Like, you know, we're never going to use this thing again. Yeah.
So,
put it under the Christmas lights.
And that's really what it seemed like. It took a very long time for the guy to come out. But when he came out, I mean, the cheers.
People saw this little, like, tricycle with, like, a tin can on it, when people saw that, I looked out thinking, like, Beckham walked onto the pitch, you know?
I mean, it was literally like, you know, the announcement that Drogba is coming to Montreal.
It was like Beyonce coming out of the center pitch through the floor, through the ground. That's honestly the energy.
Their minds for this man.
And every time he sprayed one of the lines, it was like,
And when he completed one line.
When he completed, must have felt like he should have never quit that band in high school. You know, he was like, "This is what it should have been like, man."
He was happy, but then
Matu, get out of here.
Finally, when the match began, Montreal got at it immediately.
Boy. I mean, here's the thing: you actually mentioned this, and I'll give you all the credit in the world. We were talking about, God, you know, this energy is, I mean, it was intense. It was more intense than I think any energy I felt since Pirlo came on the pitch. It was that level of energy for the entire pre-match. And I had said, man, imagine what this place is going to feel like if they lose, you know? And you said, no, with this energy, I can't imagine they don't come out basically, like, to paraphrase what you said, like, all guns blazing.
Yeah.
And holy shit, were you right? I mean, they came out. Who was it that scored first? Was it a young girl or
Oduro? Dominic Oduro, who was clearly running at Usain Bolt speeds.
He was on something. I don't care what you say.
They
piss test that dude right after that match because that dude was on something.
So look, that I feel like that delay really clearly affected Toronto negatively because it almost to some degree it looked like, you know how when in FIFA when you start your the second half with the fatigue level, you know,
it was a little lower,
yeah. And it seemed like it seemed like Toronto started the first half as like the second half in FIFA. They just looked slower.
Yeah, they looked like they traveled very far to get there. Like that type of sort of lethargy. Lethargy. Thank you. That was a question in tone. So thank you. That lethargy, like you could see it, like it weighed on them. But also, I think it's also we're grading them on a curve because Montreal looks like they also made their own lines in the locker room. They had their own chalk guy, if you know what I'm saying. Homie named Pedro is out there doling out the good because these dudes came out ready to go. And do you want to know what it's like to be a rock star? Close your eyes and wait for Nacho Piatti to get the ball because that place goes buck wild.
That was cool.
61,000 Canadians going fucking ape shit.
Yeah, it's cool. It was cool. Yeah, I mean, I haven't been to any other. We haven't been to any other MLS games this season in other stadiums. So
yeah, no.
So we get to see sort of the love that NYCFC has for Villa, Pirlo, Lampard.
Yes,
we got to win, so it was actually really cool to see, you know, that similar love, but showing it to their players. We've seen Drogba play, we've seen Piatti play,
right?
But only in away stadium,
right?
But seeing the Montreal fans how they love Piatti, and when Piatti has the, I mean, it's that comfort that they feel.
Right.
The comfort that we feel when Pirlo has the ball. We're like,
he's going to do. Grandmother's hugging them.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be okay.
Everything's going to be fine. And Piatti, I mean, he didn't disappoint. For the most part, he was great. There were maybe 2-3 plays that he was like, dude, you're doing a little too much.
Yeah, like, he was out there. He would look like river dancing at one point.
But he got some style, man.
Yeah, dude, he's got. You know what I like about him, too, is that other than those three moments, he doesn't try to do too much.
Yeah.
You know, he's not out there. You know, sometimes you can feel it with certain players that maybe technical skill is above the rest of the club when they're out there or the other 10 guys, and they feel they put it on themselves to do too much. Piatti literally played the best winger that he could the entire match. Maybe outside of three little moments, he literally was just focused on being the best at being forward into the left-hand side as you possibly could. And I got to give everyone else on that team credit. It seemed like everyone came out to play their position. There wasn't a lot of finger-pointing. There wasn't a lot of people having to cover for the other person. You know, when one of the defenders went forward, someone covered for him immediately.
Yeah.
Very well-managed club. Very well. They came out 100% prepared.
Yeah, in the first half, I mean, credit to them. They got two early goals in the 10th minute, and then in the 12th minute, Oduro was the first one. Mancosu was the second, which another great cross from Piatti. And Mancosu just looked like the only one in the box that wanted the ball at that moment. Toronto, they were kind of shocked at how quickly Montreal came out at them, and you could see, especially in the second goal, Jovinko was really really upset,
right?
And getting very frustrated. Then second half starts.
They had him in his pocket.
Yeah,
in his
pocket look defensively. Montreal in the first half, they had Toronto's number. Altidore really wasn't pushing anybody around, wasn't doing much of anything. Toronto was definitely playing a lot of long balls because I think they just wanted.
Yeah, they could not get central. Montreal stayed extremely compact. They just couldn't push the ball central, which looks like that's what they were trying to do. You know, they had Michael Bradley deep seating, trying to sort of do the Pirlo thing, which is like maybe ping out some passes from just behind the midfield. And was not working, man. What was that? Donadello and Bernier, they were prepared, man. They were.
Who was? Oh no, what's his name? Cabrera is the center back.
No, not that. I'm talking about the two, sort of more defensive minded midfielders.
That's right.
Yeah, they were so good. Yeah, but no, Cabrera.
Yeah,
it's easy to put Jovinko in your pocket physically, but he did it through the match.
Yeah. They dominant first half.
Very.
It was cool to see how proud the team felt, the fans felt at that moment. Seeing 61,000 people were just like, I was saying just before, I don't know if I said it right on the podcast, I had never been to a game with that many people, but it was cool to see that. And they came out in the second half. Back, same thing. I mean,
Right, so it was 2-0.
Oyongo,
yeah,
scores a goal that probably shouldn't go in. Yeah. Clint Irwin, just first, I forgot who was defending, but just like you got to just play the guy. You got to play Oyongo a little tighter.
Yeah, and Oyongo was like streaking forward.
Exactly. Yeah, it was a breakaway.
And it seemed like he was passing everybody.
He was going fast, but he had a defender in front of him.
Yeah.
And yeah, just you don't allow that shot. And also, Irwin, that shouldn't go in. The ball bounced like six times.
Sort of from like just outside the box across the face of the goal, kind of diagonally.
Exactly. And I mean, yeah, it was a great shot, but
perfectly pointed.
Yeah, I mean, just a defensive lapse from the keeper and from the center back.
And it was 3-0. And honestly, the energy was like, all right, so let's just call it and let's go get drinks.
Yeah, you know,
like,
that's
let's just move.
That's really what it felt like because, yeah, the second half, Toronto, they came to life.
Something happened.
Montreal, I think that third goal almost hurt them more than it helped.
Right, because they took their foot off the gas.
They really did. Yeah.
It felt like, and I, you know, to match the energy in the room, it felt like, all right, match is over.
Mm-hmm.
We did good. Maybe we'll get a fourth. That's how you could tell that the energy was. And then, like, we'll see you in Toronto. And, you know, for those of us who are NYCFC fans, we know things can change very, very fast.
Very quickly.
Especially when you're playing against Toronto. And they did their thing, man.
And that's the thing is that, yeah, Toronto is just a team you can't. Yeah, you can't take the gas. You can't hit the brakes at all.
No, because you can't blink with them.
They're just way too strong.
It felt like Toronto was the big guy at a bar who a little guy picked a fight with him.
Mm-hmm.
And the little dude gets a bunch of punches up front and surprises the big dude with how fast he is.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh. And the big dude's like, I got a couple in here too.
Exactly.
And, the guy got back a few punches, man. It was, so I ended up, they scored.
Yeah, Jose Altidore. It was a little chip across that Jose Altidore headed in. But it was like a bit of a scrum at that point. Like the ball was
kerfuffle.
Yeah, the ball was bouncing around a lot. It hit the post. And then it lands at Jovinko's feet. He does a little cross. Altidore heads it in. I mean, good goal. There's not much you can do about that. You give up that one goal. Still 3-1. You're still happy with that result.
Yeah, you can go into Toronto knowing you lead by two and you play defensively. I mean, you know, for the most part, I think Toronto had maybe 70% of the possession, you know?
I wouldn't say that excessive, but definitely more. Especially in the second half. They were very, very dominant.
Sure.
And they changed strategies completely. They weren't doing the long ball as much.
Not at all.
They're really connecting a lot of passes.
Yeah, and also they seemed to start going a little bit wide. That might have just been me. I went to the bathroom. So I missed a little bit.
Missed the first goal. You missed the Altidore goal.
I missed the Altidore goal, and I missed Drogba coming in.
Yeah.
I mean, there were people there with the Côte d'Ivoire jerseys and flag.
Yeah.
I mean, huge. It must be a very big Ivory Coast population, or a significant enough, because we saw those flags.
Yeah, I saw flags.
Maybe people came for the match because, you know, from outside neighborhoods or something, because it was just incredible, man. Let me tell you something. When Drogba comes in, it's like the chalk guy was back out there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, did the chalk guy get in?
That's the kind of energy it was, yeah. Yeah.
Is he the new center back? He's out there with the machine.
Everybody's like, what's everybody cheering for Drogba? Is it chalk guy? Chalk guy?
Oh, the chalk guy's back. There are people at the concession stand. He's going to lay another line.
Drogba came in, and that was another cool moment. And Drogba, he came in for Mancosu. At that point, I don't know if he needed to or didn't. Look, Drogba's going to play the game, without a doubt.
Yeah, Drogba's in there. Also, you could, you know, the energy was that everyone felt like this might be his last match at home.
Yes, and it was.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, I even said to you, like, when Drogba comes in, I assumed it was going to be like the 83rd minute or something, but you knew the energy was going to be up.
Yeah, he came in like 60, early 67th,
80, 67,
something like
68
that.
Maybe, yeah.
And he made a couple poor decisions. He probably held on to the ball too long.
Yeah.
Took some probably unnecessary shots. I think he just wanted that home run ball.
Oh yeah, that screamer.
Yeah. And there was a throw in that landed right on his chest, fell to his feet, and he hit it wide.
We got cameras prepared. Everyone stood on their feet.
People would have lost their minds if he put one in the net.
This is something that frustrates a lot of people in Europe when we talk about the MLS, and we say sometimes the teams play better without certain DPs. And I can say without a shadow of a doubt that Montreal is one of them.
Yeah.
They play as a unit when they're minus Drogba. Drogba comes in, everybody wants to give Drogba the ball. Essentially, what I've realized just watching it is probably something that happened to Pirlo early on is Drogba's playing with 10 other of his fans.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So there's like, you know, the interest is in, oh my God, let me see if I can give him an assist, or let me see what he's going to do with this ball, or how great would it be if I give him like a perfect pass? And maybe 9 of his fans, because Piatti, I think, is the only one that doesn't really enjoy playing with him. But you could see how different the team is when he's in it.
Yeah, it would have been absolutely epic if he made one or two like better decisions, but
hair wise or sorry, that slick back ponytail just always he looks like a card shark to me, you know. Looks like he's in the World Series of Poker.
But overall, he wasn't as effective as probably he should have been. But
also, yeah, well, at his age, you shouldn't have him sit that long. That's bad for your knees. You
maybe,
know what I'm
maybe. But just a couple minutes after Drogba comes in, Toronto gets another goal, the goal from Michael Bradley, which if I was looking at the replays this morning, and probably shouldn't have been allowed, mainly because and I sort of felt this at the game, but I couldn't tell if the player was diving. I forgot who was defending Josie when he had the ball at that moment. But he pushed the defender. He just pushed literally pushed the defender
shoulder
to the ground.
Or
hand. One hand. He used his left arm to push the defender to the ground and then pass it to Bradley, and Bradley hit it in. And the fact that the ref didn't see that or call that. This ref definitely let a lot go. He let a lot go.
Yeah. I mean, this ref, you know, I don't want to say anything too inflammatory, but I think he might have been watching another match on his phone during the match. I don't know what was happening. I mean, he didn't just let a lot go. He was calling the game in sort of in an unbalanced way.
I don't know if it was unbalanced.
Meaning, I don't think he was biased towards any specific club. I just think that sometimes something he would whistle, and then he wouldn't whistle that in other moments, like a similar sort of maybe shove or push.
Yeah,
it was very frustrating.
He was very
tone of
he was very lenient. He was very lenient with a lot of fouls.
Yeah,
and I was watching MLS, you know, MLS instant replay, and I didn't realize this at the match, but he didn't give out one yellow card.
No, he didn't give out a yellow at all.
At all. So and that was crazy because there were a couple fouls that really merited them.
For sure. There was one where, I mean, clearly was a studs up.
Laurent Simon did a slide against, I forgot his name.
I think he was the dude with the green shoes, right?
Yeah, I don't remember. The guy that got into the fight with David Villa, the one that Villa kicked in the back of the leg. Yeah. That guy.
Which apparently is allowed. Thank you, MLS.
So, there were a couple fouls that definitely merited a yellow card.
Yeah.
But some people, in instant replay, they were sort of suggesting that the ref, because a couple of people were on yellow card warning, so they would miss the second leg. And he thinks that that's the reason why he didn't give the yellow cards.
Well, that's just stupid, now that other guy has to do the same thing because of the final.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But Bradley scores.
Maybe that all goes away.
Bradley scores 3-2. And Toronto looked like they could possibly get a third one. I mean, there was maybe one or two moments where it looked like Montreal might get the fourth in in the final minutes of the game, but
would not be.
Yeah, it wouldn't
would
be.
Would not be.
3-2 for the most part.
I think everyone in the room, towards like from the 78th minute on, expected Toronto to get the third goal and have it be nil-nil on aggregate going in, essentially.
Exactly. I think Montreal, especially against Toronto, they haven't really been dominant per se. Especially being up 3-0, I think people didn't know how to handle that.
Yeah. Your brain's like, that's not possible.
This is weird. In the second half, they sort of adjusted to like what Montreal is kind of like, and getting to see them up close and getting to see them in like their best atmosphere with so many fans, you really see what the strengths of Montreal are. I mean, they're gifted with the ball, and they are fast.
Oh,
they just have so many fast. But there are just a unbelievable counterattacking team.
Yeah.
And it's no joke. I mean, Odoro, Oyongo, even Piatti, just blazing fast.
Yeah. I mean, Odoro, Oyongo, those two in particular. I mean, you know, if racists say that, you know, black people have extra muscles, I think you're wrong. These two might. These two dudes might.
Wow. You're going to
so fast.
You're going to justify. You're going to say this theory has some
racism
credence.
Racism is because all of them. I'm saying these two gentlemen. I just realized they're both black. So, yeah, that's probably not a good thing, what I just said. But what I'm saying is these two guys are just – and the funny thing is like they're not just fast, you know. Now, I said to you during the match, imagine David Akam, who's probably the fastest player in the league, played on this team. I mean, you know, you wouldn't be able to.
It wouldn't be fair.
No, you'd have, if your 10 guys, would be 5 guys on one side of the pitch, 5 guys on the other waiting for him.
They would all be offsides all the time. Yeah, they would be like, no, you're running through, slow down because you're going too fast.
I got to be honest, I don't even know if you were offside. I'm just going to assume you were. You're running too fast. Yeah, dude, the sideline judge is going to have the biggest calves in the world because. You know, these guys are just so, both of these guys are so fast. So, like, the moment there's a ball that looks like, oh, no one's going to be able to catch that, all of a sudden the energy in the crowd's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Because here comes Odoro streaking towards that ball. And, dude, when they counter, they make the pitch look so small because they get to the other side so fast. And it's like if you're a center back, you're screwed. You're not nearly as fast as them, and they're at full pace.
Yeah. Yeah, it was impressive. Overall, a great game. It was just absolutely awesome to be there.
Yeah,
it was
great energy.
Great energy. Yeah, it was. We were talking about going to this game for a couple weeks, and so I'm so glad we did. I mean that was it was like one of those experiences. Like, oh, I'm always gonna remember being in Montreal that day to get to see that game. The 4:05 Derby, the Canada Classico.
We're calling it the Canada Classico
because that was just great. And yeah,
I mean, this. I hope the next time these two clubs meet, if it's not a playoff, it still has this energy.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, Toronto is gonna be lit.
Yeah,
we can't go to that match. I kind of wish we could. It is that. I mean, the energy of this match. It you said in the beginning, right until the chalk thing, right until the lines had been painted. We were like, this doesn't feel like MLS. This feels like Champions League.
Yeah,
it had that feeling. It just did.
Yeah, and that
I promise.
And,
you
and it made me jealous. I'm like, I want this.
Yes,
I want this in the U.S.
I want 61. Games. You even said like maybe the next time Red Bull plays NYCFC, it could be a giant stadium.
Wouldn't that be great?
We
70,000 people to see the New York Derby.
Oh man,
how great would that
be? Let's all just fly to the Azteca. Or let's go to Ann Arbor. That's probably easier to get to, right? Let's go to Ann Arbor, 110,000 people, and let's do it, y'all. I mean, this was incredible.
This was great. Just the people in Montreal, with the people we were sitting next to were really cool.
Everyone was super nice, except that one bartender.
Except that one bartender. We can't speak kindly of him. He was the only one that was giving us any issues.
Oh, we got no tip.
After the game, we had some – where did we eat? What is that place?
We went to Schwartz.
Schwartz.
smoked meat.
Which is it's the cat deli of Montreal.
Damn.
And it was very good.
Oh God, incredible. And it, you know, it's not like pastrami. Pastrami has a big salt flavor. This is like sort of seasoning flavor.
Yeah, I've been to cat deli a couple times, and I don't know, is that what we ate, pastrami? I don't know what we ate. It was beef.
Well, smoked meat is a similar type of pastrami.
Okay.
It's more of the breast of the cow.
Them titties, cow titties.
We eating them titties, boy. When you go out with the Cooligans, we don't go see them shake. We go eat them joints. We ate them cow titties. We ate smoked cow titties. It's salt cured in New York. So both Jewish, right, both Orthodox communities or Jewish communities. In New York, they took on more of the, and I don't know if it's because it's Ashkenazi, they took on more of their, the smoked meat.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, not smoked meat, salt, cured meat here, and then they boil it more in New York. Here, less boiled, no real salt, just intense dry seasoning. So it's not wet. It's not wet brine. It's not brined,
okay.
Which is like a wet cure. This
it's not
is,
wet titties.
No, they're not wet titties, right? No, this is not a wet t-shirt contest. This is just salted, and then what did he say? He cured it for 10 days?
I can't stress. It was. It's like I had to not eat more than I should. I mean, than I could. Because
they put out like half a loaf of bread, like, and you make your own sandwiches.
Yeah, it's very good, very
and
good.
And Christian had more than two, which I'm very proud of. Yeah,
I had three.
And I might have had five, but that's besides the point.
Five, like, you know, double patty.
Why are you making it worse? Why are you making it worse, dude? I was just giving you credit, and here you go. You know what that is? That's the two oranges talking. That's them two oranges talking. This is what I don't like when you eat like that. Baby bird eating over here. It's two little oranges thinking about the nap he's going to take in the car.
But it was cool. It was nice. Vic, right?
Yeah, Vic. Muse Vic.
A rapper,
artist out here. A
friend of Alexis. He was so cool. Took us to
him and Bourget.
Bourget.
B-O-R-Y. Bourget.
Okay.
Come on now. With the twisted mustache. Yo, dudes are like, I want to come back to Montreal and just hang out with
them.
They're
the coolest dudes in the world.
Oh, they're so dude, like, yo, but he's a barber here. He's got the twisty handlebar mustache.
Yeah, he has the handlebar mustache.
And the dude is rolling in his own cigarettes.
Like,
it
but
was
tight.
Like hanging out. Yo,
so tight cigarette.
Duh, focus. Focus on that cigarette rolling. Yo, no joke, he looked like Asian Humphrey Bogart. The homie was just, I mean, yo, swagged out too. Yeah. Great style. Both these dudes, great style. Yo, how about Musevic with the throwback?
Yeah.
The old USL Quebec on the front in Montreal Impact jersey.
Yeah, it was dope.
Throwback. We'll see him in the video. These guys were great.
Yeah, so yeah, go make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're going to put out a video of our time in Montreal.
We might put out a couple. Give us some time because we got a lot of shit we're editing.
Yeah, great.
You know, we're not a big network.
We're building that. We're building that empire.
We also are building some bridges. Shouts to all the people from Kick that we hung out with.
Yeah, this trip has just been great. What a decision that we
on our part. I can't stress enough. We were just like, hey, do you think you want to go to, like, we weren't like inspired to go to the match. We just kind of wanted to do it. It wasn't too far of a drive and we thought, let's do it. Boy, we're walking away with such a positive feeling about this.
Great. Yeah. Just the whole town is awesome.
They're great.
The game was great.
Second/third favorite city in the world.
So, guys, obviously, this has been a shorter episode. We, you know, mostly about our trip, but thank you for listening.
No real breaks. Also, shout to Mack Weldon. Really, really comfortable underwear. I've wore them on the entire trip. They don't smell. They're amazing. They felt great.
It's a miracle. After all that cured
me. We didn't even talk about the Jimmy Conrad interview we did. It was amazing. We're going to put that video out. The RJ Allen interview we did. They're going to put that out. You guys are going to get chock full of content
from
us.
There's so much heat coming.
We are doing so much. We're trying to give you guys some amazing stuff. So thank you to Mack Weldon. Thank you to Braven Brewery.
That's right, for sponsoring that event as well.
Oh, sponsoring that event. And we hope everything works out okay for you guys on a private thing. Mack Weldon, Braven Brewery, who also? Oh, Upper 90. Thank you, Upper 90, for letting us use your space.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Roddy, for the speakers.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Roddy, Joshua, the other kid with the bigger hair. I'm sorry, I forgot your name, little homie. Thank you guys for the speakers, for letting us use them and keep them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thank you to everyone. Thank you to my wife, Dee, for letting you know, me go to Canada last minute without having any responsibilities at home, like the dishes I didn't do and all that other stuff.
Okay, so, yeah. Is your wife okay? Did she give you permission to do this podcast? Is everything okay?
Yeah, she was just be mad at you? She said, you know, just be careful. Don't talk to strangers or people who eat two oranges at a road stop, at a friggin' truck stop.
You can't trust those people.
No, you can't.
You guys are the absolute best. Thank you so much for listening. This is, you know, we are the
Cooligans!